to go, and it's like we're finally leaving everything, and okay, we can take a deep breath, loading up the luggage, and I asked Georgina, where's your luggage? And it turns out that my groomman, they look at me and say, well, we left that in the trunk of the rental car, which you turned in this morning, and you can't get to for 3 days. All right. So it was very, very stressful. Thankfully, it ended well. We got married. We're legal. Okay. But I tell you what, for the happiest day of my life, it was a very stressful day. It was extremely disheartening at times. It seemed like everything was going against us. Nothing was going right. We just couldn't win on that day. And have you ever had a day like that? Have you ever had a week like that where it just seems like everything is against you? No matter what you do, nothing works. You can plan everything. You can have the best intentions and everything just falls apart when it seems like the entire world is against you. We all have those times. We all have those weeks, those months, sometimes those years when it does that. And it's extremely difficult. But there's good news and there's bad news. Let me start with the bad news. The world really is against you. Just you know, in case you don't know, the world really is against you. I mean, the Bible says himself, Satan, the one who goes around like a prowling lion, you know, ready to kill, steal, destroy. Yeah, when you become a Christian, he is the number one enemy, and you become public enemy number one to him. So, as encouraging as that is, the world really is against us. And it's amazing because when the enemy attacks us, when things don't go right in the world, when all these things happen, the pressures, the impossibilities happen, we start to get disheartened. We start to get discouraged. We start to feel defeated. Feel like we can't make this. Why won't it? It just won't work. What's going on? And the good news is this. We win. The good news is that we win. This is the good news, that if we can embrace this good news, if we can embrace the fact that we are in a war, but we win, and if we can live by that, things will change. The chains of defeat will fall off. Those times when we are stressed out beyond belief and it feels like nothing is going to go right, we remember the good news that we win, and suddenly things change. Because that feeling of defeat can be overwhelming sometimes, and we've got to answer it. And so, as Charlie Sheen would put it, winning, we win. But you may ask, Pastor, how do we win though? I mean, how does that work? Because there are plenty of times in my life when I felt like I am not winning, when I felt like I am losing everything. Well, I'm so glad you asked, because Paul talks about it in Romans chapter 8. So as you're turning there to Romans chapter 8, Paul wrote this letter to the church in Rome, and the church was made up of Jews and Gentile, Jewish Christians, Gentile Christians, and they were having some major tensions. I mean, you talk about some serious battles that they were fighting. The enemy was trying everything that they could to destroy the church. And so Paul writes this letter mainly because he was going to go there. He wanted support because he was going to Spain to try and do missionary work. And so he writes essentially the book of Romans, which is the foundations of the gospel. But also, he writes it to try and address this tension and try to reconcile these two different groups that are having such trouble. Because like us, they had serious battles that were causing them to become very, very defeated. And so, we go to Romans chapter 8, where Paul has been celebrating the fact that we have security in Christ. And so Romans chapter 8, verse 31, he says, "What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? So Paul writes these questions, and the rhetorical questions, in order to make a point. He loves rhetorical questions. And so he writes these saying, if God's for us, who can be against us? And the first thought that came to my mind when I read that was, well, God, let me make a list. Can I make a list for you? You know, there are plenty of people that are against me. I can name them. There are organizations in the U.S. that are against me. There are people in the world that are against me. Satan himself, you told me that Satan is against me. There are tons of things against me. So, you know, how can you say this? How can you say this? And it boggled my mind for the longest time. But then I realized Paul's point here, it's not that something comes against us, that nothing can be against us, but it's that God is for us. And if God is for us, then no opposition ultimately matters. It doesn't matter who comes against us. It doesn't matter what the world throws, what the enemy throws at us. Because God is for us, we ultimately win. We win. And it's amazing. You know, when I was in high school, I was and probably could still be considered a nerd. You talk about the stereotypical nerd. That was me. That was me. And so I was short and I was skinny and I would run from one class to another because I didn't want to be late, wanted to make sure I got a good seat. And so, you know, here I am. One of my biggest fears in high school was that I would be thrown into a locker, that somebody would trap me in a locker. You know, they said, oh, it never happens. Nah, yeah. So, you know, I'm in high school, and the only thing I had going for me was that the star football player was my best friend. And so I'm in science class, and there's this guy that I don't know what his beef was, but he was just on me all the time, you know, mocking me, throwing stuff at me, you know, making fun of me. And, of course, the teacher never saw. No. Never acknowledged that. But he just sat there, and I kept to myself. You know, I was quiet, shy. And then one day he just stopped. Just all of a sudden stopped. He wouldn't even make eye contact with me. And so I talked to my friend. I'm like, man, you know, this guy's been out for me all semester long, and now he just stopped. I'm like, it's great. I don't know what happened. He's like, oh, I do. I had a little chat with him at the baseball fields. Okay. I didn't ask him what kind of chat he had, but I was like, all right, I'll take it. Yeah, and it was nice because I didn't have to worry about a thing. It didn't matter who tried to mess with me. My best friend was the football star, and everyone knew him, and everyone knew his temper too. So it worked out really well for me. And it's the same way in our life. We have God. He is for us. And so it doesn't matter who comes against us. It doesn't matter ultimately because God is for us. So who can be against us? And I love how Paul, he writes here saying that God will graciously give us all things. Graciously give us all things. And what he's talking about here is that kind of two-part. He's saying all things is that eventually he gives us that final glory with Jesus when we're in heaven, spending eternity in the presence of God. But also, it means everything he provides to get us to that point. He will graciously give us everything. He will graciously see us through to the end. So anything that happens to us, God uses to get us to that end point. God uses to get us to that final glory with Jesus. And so, we win. We win. It's amazing. And I love what Paul says next. You know, in verse 28, he goes, and we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. And I like how John Chrysostom phrased it. He was an early church pastor in Antioch, and he said it this way. He said, yet those things that be against us, so far are they from thwarting us at all, that even without their will, they become to us the cause of crowns, the procurers of countless blessings, so that God's wisdom turneth their plots unto our salvation and glory. See how really no one is against us. We win. No matter what happens, we win. No matter what comes against us, we win. We win. Paul continues, verse 33, saying, who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. I love that. You see, he moves from kind of this battle-type language to this courtroom language. You know, saying not that no one's ever going to charge us with anything, because we know otherwise, right? But he says, it doesn't matter what charges the enemy brings against us, the accuser. It doesn't matter what charges he brings against us. It doesn't matter what sin he brings as evidence, because if we're in Christ, God says, innocent. Innocent. We win. We're innocent because of what Christ did. And we didn't even deserve it. You know, when we first got married and we moved up here, Georgina and I lived in a little apartment. You know, I had no cable. I tried to catch internet from the neighbors. And so we just had bunny ears. You know, that's all we had. And because of that, and I didn't want to read, I would sit with her and, now, forgive me, I watched American Idol with her. I love my wife, so I watched American Idol with her. And as we watched it, I would get so frustrated. Oh, I would get so frustrated because the judges, you know, you've seen it where they would promote someone who had no reason to be in the competition. I mean, you know, they had these contestants and they say, no, no, no. Yes, you come up. What? You look at it and say, what are you doing? Why are you doing this? That makes no sense. You know, she'd see me sitting there yelling at the TV, what are you thinking? And it's amazing because, you know, I look at that and I thought about that and said, huh, God does the same thing for us. I'm like, wow, I can imagine Satan sitting there yelling at the TV, what are you doing, God? You can't, you know, but really that's what happens. You know, in God's courtroom, we're sitting here and Satan's throwing every evidence against us saying, he did this, 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 and it's all true, and all of it should lead to a logical conclusion of eternal punishment, and yet God says, no, innocent. They're good. They're good. What? It's amazing. We win because God is for us, and he loves us so much, and he gives us what we don't deserve. We win. We win. So it doesn't matter what the enemy says to us. I mean, how many times have we let the enemy lie to us? Say, oh, you've gone too far now. You've gone too far. There's no hope. There's no point in trying anymore. You're hopeless. You're done. You're finished. There's no reason for you to keep trying. We buy into that lie at times, and it leads us to defeat. It leads us to that attitude of, well, there's no hope. But yet, God says no. It's never too late. It doesn't matter. I'm for you, and I love you. And so, we win. We win. So we look, and Paul continues. Verse 35, he says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. Paul says, not only are we innocent in God's eyes, but we are bound up in the inseparable love of Christ. There is nothing that the enemy can do to separate us from the love of Christ. Nothing that he can do to separate us from our Savior. Nothing. We're safe. We're protected. We win. It's awesome. You know, I love playing strategy board games. I love playing them. Two of my favorites are Risk and Axis and Allies, and Michael's laughing because he remembers. But these games, they're extremely long. They're extremely long, and they take lots of patience. But, you know, it's war strategy. And one of the things that I found is that if you want to take somebody out, cut off their supply line. Because in the game, you kind of had this central area that's protected, and then you funnel troops to the battlefront, you know, to the front lines. But if you cut off the supply line, you can take that group out, cut off the supply line, take that group out, cut off the supply line, till you get to the beginning and then wipe them out. And it's amazing because Satan tries to do the same thing to us. Because Jesus is our supply line, and so he tries to cut us off, to disrupt our relationship with Christ, because he knows that's the most important thing. He knows if he can disrupt our relationship with God, then everything else is easy. If he can disrupt that and destroy that supply line, everything else is easy. But what Paul says is that nothing can take that supply line away from us. No one, nothing in creation can forcefully take that supply line from us. And therefore, we win. It doesn't matter what the enemy throws. It doesn't matter what he tries, because he can't take Jesus away. He can't take the supply line away from us. And so we win. We win regardless of what happens. And he continues. 37. He says, and I love this. He says, no, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither present or the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You see, we will more than triumph, more than conquerors. It doesn't mean just make it through. It means more than triumph over everything. Friends, it is time to stop letting defeat rule our lives. It's time to stop walking in self-pity, to stop sulking when things get rough. It's time to walk in the victory that God has given us, because through Jesus Christ, we are more than conquerors. And that means no matter what, whether it's a lost loved one, whether finances go down the hole, whether sickness comes in, whether relationships break down, no matter what it is, we are more than conquerors, and we will more than triumph. It's the idea that not only will we get through, but we will succeed. So Paul says, we win. We win. That's all there is to it. We win. And so think about it. Think about what that means. Because there are times that we feel defeated, discouraged. And yet Paul says that we win. So embrace that good news and live by it. But how do we live by it? What do we do with this awesome news that we have? Well, I love what Revelation 12:11 says. It says this: they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Did you catch what that said? Did you catch one of the key words there? It says, they overcame. It didn't say, this individual all by themselves overcame. It didn't say, this person who secluded themselves off overcame. No, it said, they overcame. You see, too many times we try and fight this on our own. We just say, oh, it's just me and Jesus. We're going to get through this. That's not what we're supposed to do. We're not supposed to stay isolated. So when we see one of our brothers or sisters in Christ that are being defeated, you see it in their eyes, you see it in their face, the way they walk, what do? We encourage them. We minister to them, just like Pastor said this morning. We go to them, lift them up, and say, you're not alone. You're not going through this alone. That's how we live out this good news. We remind them of what God's word says, that, hey, guess what? We win. I know it doesn't feel like it right now, but we win. And God is working some way, somehow in your situation. And we live life with them, walking through the difficult times with each other, not alone. We take our gifts, the things that God has strengthened us, the things that God has given us, abilities, and we bless the body of believers. We help them. Maybe it's babysitting. Maybe it's cooking a dinner for a family that's going through a really rough time. Maybe it's mowing the grass. Maybe it's just hanging out with them, spending time, helping them to have a little fun. Whatever it is, whatever we've been gifted with, we need to share it with the body. That's how we live this out. And then when we ourselves are going through that difficult time where we can just feel the chains of defeat wrapping around us, we keep a hold of our supply line. We stay close to Jesus, because too many times our gut reaction is to step back. Oh, it's going through a hard time. I got to step back. I got to wait and try and sort this out on my own. But rather than that, we step forward. We cling even harder to that supply line, and then to the supply line of the believers. Going to our friends and saying, look, I'm going through a rough time. I need help. I need someone to be with me right now. Because I know in my life, I am very bad about letting pride get in and saying, no, I can't tell anybody. I'll just sort this out with Jesus. And so we need to live out this awesome news that we win if we want to defeat that chain of defeat. Because we're meant to live in victory. We're meant to walk in victory. I mean, think about what that's like. If we would just do this, think about what that would mean. Think about how we would go through life, and even when the enemy attacks, we still have the joy of the Lord. Even when circumstances don't go our way and they actually get worse and worse and worse, we can still be strengthened. We can still go knowing we win. That God is going to work this out somehow. That God's going to use this for His glory. That God's going to help me in this time. That no matter what, God is there. Because God is for me. Think about the joy, the peace, and think about what God will do through you. Because when we're in that defeat, we don't do anything. But when we walk in victory, that is when God uses us the most. That's when we can do great things for God. That's when we can minister. That's when we can go out and see God change lives. If we would just walk in victory. You want revival? Walk in victory. And Paul says that we win. We win. With every head bowed and every eye closed.